Be seated. Let us go to God in prayer. Eternal God, we thank you for the light of Jesus Christ. We're grateful that that light continues to shine in the world. And we thank you for letting your light shine through us as your servants. May the light which is shared with us from your word through your servant today illuminate the darkness of our minds and hearts. And in your light, may we receive greater light so that we shall truly reflect the light of Christ to those round about us and to our world. In the name of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, we pray. Amen. Our chapel speaker today is Dr. Terry Douglas, Sr., Director of Associational Missions, one of the associations in Pennsylvania. He is under appointment by our Home Mission Board in Atlanta. For 20 years, Dr. Douglas has been a pastor in Louisiana and in Pennsylvania. I met him several years ago when I was in Pennsylvania for their conference, their state conference on evangelism, and at that time he was still a pastor there in the state, but now for about a year or more he has been director of missions for the South Central Baptist Association in Pennsylvania. He is visiting on our campus for 2 or 3 days, interviewing students who may be interested in mission work in Pennsylvania, talking with those who may feel the pull of God to plant their lives in that part of our country. And if you would like to share with him and talk with him, you can make an appointment through the Formation and Ministry office. But we're pleased to have Terry Douglas to come and speak to us today following the anthem.
Thank you for coming today and sharing with us in the chapel experience. And I bring to you three words, three things that I want to share with you. First word that I have to share with you is to bring you greetings from the Baptist Convention of Pennsylvania, South Jersey, and from the South Central Baptist Association. And we thank you for your participation in regard to what is happening here at Southeastern in regard to the work that's taking place in Pennsylvania. The second word that I have to say to you is in regard to personal appreciation for the opportunity to come and share with you in this experience today and to be on your campus and to talk with many of you in regard to mission work in Pennsylvania. It is a privilege, really, to come and to share with you, and I express my appreciation to the committee for allowing me to share with you during this time. But my main emphasis, I guess, today is to share with you a word from God's holy word. And if you have your Bible with you today, I want to direct our attention to a passage of scripture found in the book of Mark. And I share with you and I speak to you out of my own heart and experience for what God is doing in my own personal life and the journey that I am on, and to kind of interpret to you what the scripture says and how God has spoken to me in regard to this. In Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 22, 23, and 24 and 25, there is a unique relationship that is established between Jesus Christ and a man that was blind. And so I want to read that passage of scripture and then from that to begin to draw some ideas in regard to it. In Mark chapter 8, verse 22, he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And as he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. He looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored, and he saw every man clearly. I began to think about this for a moment. I thought about all the other times that we have recorded for us in the New Testament of the healings of Jesus Christ. I think about the time when the woman slipped through the crowd of people and touched the hem of his garment and was made whole or healed at that particular point. I think about the time when a man was a leper and he went to be touched of Jesus, and Jesus just spoke and he was healed immediately. I think about the man who came and said, my daughter is sick or dying. Can something be done some way or another to reach out that she would not die and she could be made whole again? And Jesus spoke a word long distance and she was healed and touched. It came to me that there was just one touch, and that one touch was enough. But in this particular case, in this instant, we find that a man who was blind was touched twice by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now begin to think about this. Here in the very first touch was a partial healing, because Jesus said to him, what do you see after the first touch? And he said, I see men as trees walking. I interpret that to mean that for those of you that wear glasses and you take your glasses off, everything looks kind of fuzzy. And so in essence, he was saying to Jesus, everybody looks kind of fuzzy. They look like trees walking, and there is no clear distinction that I can see. And so Jesus again touched him. And as far as I know, that this is the only progressive cure of our Lord Jesus Christ in the entire New Testament. And I said, God, what does that mean to me? Or what is, you know, how is it going to fit into what's happening on the inside of me? And then it began to dawn upon me as God's Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I began to see something entirely different. And it brought me to a point of saying, hey, there are some things perhaps that we need to be touched again by Jesus Christ. And no doubt many of you have been touched by the Lord Jesus Christ oftentimes in your whole life. You come to know him personally. You pray to ask him to come into your life and to save you. A genuine salvation experience, being born again into God's kingdom. But somehow or another, down the line, there gets to be a fuzziness, and we do not have that clear, distinct call or our relationship with God, perhaps like we should. And so I said, maybe what we really need is a second touch of our Lord. And I'm not talking about a second baptismal experience of the Holy Spirit and all of the other things. I'm talking about a way by which Jesus Christ can touch our hearts and our lives, that we may be able to see men clearly, as this man did after Jesus touched him again. And I said, if this be true, then, if we're going to be involved in what God wants us to be involved in the call that he has given to us in ministry, then we need to see some very clear, distinct things. So I began to draw out of this some things, and I won't have time today to develop all of these things like they should be developed, but just let me just kind of charge your battery a little bit. first thing that I began to say was, hey, look, you know, perhaps what we really need is a second chance to come to know what Jesus Christ is all about in the first place. Because, you see, there came a time when I had to transfer my head knowledge about Jesus Christ into my heart, and I was born again into God's kingdom. There came a time in my life when I realized that John 3:16, where it says, for God so loved the world, and I really believe that, and that he died on the cross for every man, regardless of what their color was. But friends, I want you to know something, that it was entirely different when I came to realize that Jesus died on the cross for me. In a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that made a difference. So maybe we need to come back to the grips of what Jesus is all about and why he came and the mission that he was involved in coming to our world today. In order, I think, for us to really have an understanding about who Jesus really is, we must have a direct encounter with him. It is very difficult for us to go out and to share with someone else about what is happening or what needs to happen within their life as far as a conversion experience or their walk with God if we don't have that walk with God. I remember in early ministry, I was supplementing my salary by selling pots and pans. Stainless steel cookware. And trying to convince some people that this is what they needed to buy. I didn't have any myself. It was difficult for me to relate to these people of their needs. And honestly, I can say to you, it's hard to tell somebody what Jesus can do for them if Jesus hadn't done anything for you. So maybe what we really need is a second touch to come and know who Jesus really is. I see something a little bit more in that as well. And I see that perhaps that what we really need also is a second touch in coming to know who our fellow men really are. We're living in a day and time where we cry out and say, hey man, don't you violate my space. And my space runs from my right hand to my left hand. And we walk around in our world today and say, don't violate my space, man. Don't you get next to me. And so we put up a shield around ourselves. If you don't think there's a shield around ourselves today, the next time that you ride an elevator, say hello to the person that's standing next to you. And everybody will look at you and say, whew, man, that guy's gone crazy. Something has gone wrong with him. We stand in an elevator, shoulder to shoulder, belly to back. All we do is watch the little numbers on top of the door, and we get off at the appropriate floor, and there is no communication taking place. You sit on an airport terminal, and everybody's sitting in those little chairs staring dead ahead. If you smile at somebody or say something to them, and if they speak back, I believe they'd crack and fall apart. We need God to speak to our hearts in coming to know who our fellow men really are. At the very first time that Jesus touched this man, he said, what do you see? I see men as trees walking. And we walk through the famous malls of our countryside today, and there are literally masses of people, but there is an emptiness in their eyes, reflecting an emptiness in their heart, and an emptiness in their life. Somehow or another, through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we could say to them, I love you, and I care for you, I'm interested in your life. So we need to come to know what this is all about. Hey, look, man, I know that it's difficult to love some people. They don't smell good. They don't talk like I talk. They don't live in the same kind of environment that I live in. And on that we could go. But Jesus died on the cross that men may be saved. I spent a long-term counseling situation with a prostitute from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I sat in my office and I said to her that Jesus loves you as much as he loves me. And she said, that's impossible. He can't do that. And I said, yes, he can. He loves you just as much as he loves me. And I can thankfully say to God today that here is a lady who has been transformed by the power of God's Holy Spirit working in her heart, in her life. Perhaps also that we need a second touch in coming to know what the church is all about. And where I live and where I work, I don't even have a pastor in my church. We don't even have a Sunday school director. We don't even have a Sunday school teacher, but we got some class members. And we have some people that are anxious to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need perhaps to come to grips again with what the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is all about in our society relating to where people live. I understand that it's not a health club. Of course, I think sometimes to belong to a Baptist church, you need to be healthy. We're doing something every hour on the hour, and then the half hour we take a break. On we go. It's not a personality club where we just come together to worship the preacher. It's not a meeting place for people who want to be, as someone said, dictators, agitators, or spectators. But what is it? What is it? It is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are the arms and the legs of Jesus today. And some writer said that he has no hands but ours. He has no arms but ours. He has no lips but ours. It's a community of people that are dedicated to God, who really feel within their heart and their life that God is doing something miraculous and in a very special way. What is it? It's people that are walking together. It is people that are working together. It's people that are worshiping God together. It's people that are praying together. Hey, listen to me. It is people that are learning to love one another. A few weeks ago, I sat in a prayer meeting service in Burnside Baptist Chapel in Shamokin, Pennsylvania. And at the end of it, we had a prayer time together. And the pastor said, Uncle Bill, would you lead out in prayer first? And Uncle Bill was a little hard of hearing. He couldn't hear very well. And he spoke loudly. And Uncle Bill began to pray. He said, Dear God, I thank you for saving an old drunkard like me. I have a peace in my heart that the world couldn't give me. And then he began to cry. And he couldn't finish his prayer. After the prayer meeting, I said to the pastor, Claude, tell me about Uncle Bill. He said, while we were meeting in the Union House, Uncle Bill would sit outside on a park bench, and I'd go outside and tell him about Jesus, invite him to come in. And he would laugh, and he would say, Reverend, people have been trying to get me to come to church for 50 years, and you ain't going to do nothing. I said, what happened? He said, one day Uncle Bill came in, and when he came in, he gave his life to Jesus. I said, how old is Uncle Bill? He's 85. God, thank you for saving an old drunkard like me and giving me a peace that the world couldn't give. Hey, friends, we need a second touch and come to know who our fellow men really are. And I guess I see one more in this. We need a second touch to let Jesus guide us into a growing experience of fellowship, one with the other. What happens next Sunday morning when you go to church? You're going to walk into the church and you're going to say, Hello, how are you? Good to see you today. After the service is over, hey, it was good to see you today, and we'll go our way. Sometimes we may even ask the question, really not serious, but we'll say to someone, How are you feeling? And if they begin to really honestly relate to us how they really feel, we turn them off because we really don't care. We're really not interested in how they feel. Oh, we would like to tell them about our aches and pains. Hey, friends, what we really need is for Jesus to touch us again, that we might be able to reach out with the good news of Jesus Christ and say honestly from our heart to people that are around us, I love you. Not only do I love you, not only do I give lip service to you, but I care for you. I'm interested in where you are and what you're doing. What I'm really honestly saying to you is that when Jesus touches us again, that we may be able to see those people that are around about us clearly. And not through the eyes of man, but through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the revelation that he has given to our hearts and to our minds, that we may be able to relate that walk with Christ that is different. And besides the fact that Jesus does make a difference in our hearts and in our lives. We need that second touch to allow Jesus Christ to guide us into a growing experience of fellowship. That man has a soul, regardless of his sinful condition, regardless of that girl being a prostitute, regardless of Uncle Bill denying every attempt to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him for 50 years. There did come a time when he did pray to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ loves a man just like he is. And not what we want him to be, but what Jesus has made him or can make him. And that Jesus Christ can save him. Let me close with this illustration. When I was pastor at East Shore Baptist Church, a little old lady and a little old man came one Sunday morning. And as they came into the service, and after the service was over, I said to them, Hey, look, I'd like to come by and visit with you. May I come? Sure, you can come. When would be a good time for me to come? Tomorrow. Okay, what time tomorrow? Anytime you want to come. 3 o'clock? Okay, that's fine. I made an appointment, and I went to their house, knocked on the door. We went inside. We went through the living room, into the kitchen, sit around the dining room table. And I said to them, I've come to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have a Bible? And the lady said, Mrs. Enders, yes, I have a Bible. She went back into the bedroom, and she got a Bible, and she came back out. And there I opened up the Word of God, and I shared with them what they needed to do to be saved. We joined hands around that table that day, and they prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And in a little while, when I left, they walked me to the door. And Mr. Enders reached up, and he put his hand upon my shoulder. He was a short guy. He put his hands upon my shoulder, and he said, "Reverend, I've had all kind of preachers come to this house to talk to my wife. But," he said, "you're the first man that ever told me about Jesus, and I'm 78 years old." That's in America, friends. That's only 385 miles from this campus. 4 months later, I got a call from Mrs. Enders, 10:30 at night. She said, "Pastor, Albert's died. Would you come?" And I came over to their house. We had a time of prayer together. In a few days, I joined with the service, and we left out of Harrisburg, went up the Susquehanna River, went around the foot of Blue Mountain, up across Peters Mountain into a valley. And there we laid to rest a man by the name of Albert Enders. When I had said a prayer and read the 23rd Psalm at the graveside, my heart was overwhelmed. And I walked to the edge of that cemetery, and I cast my eyes toward heaven. And I said, "Oh God, I thank you from the bottom of my heart that you touched me. And today that Albert Enders is resting safely in your arms." And I said, "Oh Jesus, touch me again and again and again, that I may never lose sight that a man can be born again into God's kingdom, and that Jesus died on the cross that he might be saved." Jesus touches again and again and again. Let's pray. Oh Father, we stand in your midst today. Now, oh Father, we pray that your Spirit would deal with us and send us on a mission that was started by our Jesus when he came and when he touched our hearts. And Father, we pray that you'd propel us out into to the humanity, that we might share the good news. There is hope. There is a Jesus. And that we do love. And that we do care. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.